I'm going to be talking over friends. As Christians in a church, we need to find good, godly friends that we can talk to outside the church and fellowship with. Those friends that will help point you to Christ in all situations and help you grow as a Christian. I'll turn to Ephesians 4:29 if you want to follow along. It's one verse. Hold on. All right. That says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." And we need to look for friends that will speak words that find grace to the hearers, the ones that will lift you up towards Christ. Some attributes we can find in friends. Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." We need to find friends that we can be open with and not afraid to sharpen them up towards the goal of Christ that he has for us. And Proverbs 13:20, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." The conversation of our friends should be holy, worthy of the gospel of Christ, edifying to the hearers. It's not discouraging. Now that we've kind of went over friends that we should have, we want to kind of like look at yourself whenever I talk about this, friends who are of the world that we shouldn't make as companions in our lives. It doesn't mean we can't be friendly to them. It doesn't mean we can't love them, but we got to have friends that will help us with our walk. These friends of the world, I mean, you can find it, those who love the world and do not show Christ as their Savior, they'll bring you down. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He who walks with the wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." And so 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Do not be deceived of evil company." Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. So whenever it says do not be deceived, some of us may think we can go to a party with the purpose of going there to change everybody, you know, or like I can hang out with my group of friends because I'm strong enough. But it's saying here, evil company will corrupt the good habits that we have as Christians. And we need to be careful who we choose to make our companions with and who we share our daily lives with, who we look to advice for or whatever. So if we are in a situation where we are with non-Christians that are trying to bring us down, you can always pray to God. God will always provide a way out. He doesn't tempt you beyond what you can handle. He doesn't tempt you, but he doesn't test you beyond what you can handle. Some indicators of worldly friends are worldly people out there that we should avoid making our close friends are those who gossip. And as I read these, you can kind of see, test yourself. Do you gossip, talk about people behind their back? Or Proverbs 17:9 says, "He who covers transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends." So that verse is saying, if somebody does something wrong to you, you got to be the kind of friend that will want to cover it up with love, forgiveness, but not repeating the matter to other friends. That causes separation among other friends. And of course, the more obvious ones, I don't want to skip those who lie all the time. That's kind of an obvious one. Those who are given to violence, easily angered. Drunkenness is a part of their lifestyle. Corrupt communication, always talking about money, things having to do with sexual immorality, obsessing over things of the world, things of this world that will not last. Everything in this world is going to perish one day. And the only thing that matters is what we've stored up in heaven, the things we've done for Christ. Ephesians 5:13 3 through 4. But fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, talking to Christians, as it is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Therefore, verse 7, therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but you are now in the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So do not be companions with the people of this world, but we can still love them. James 4:4 says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. But does this mean that we shouldn't love them, care for them, show them hospitality? Of course not. Invite them to church, youth group, pray for them to find the Lord. Point them to Christ in every way possible. Whether that's the lifestyle you live, you can point them to Christ. What you say to them, even just straight up telling them about Jesus. But that doesn't mean we have to walk in the same lifestyle just to get to them. And some people actually think that they can hang out with them or do what they do just to get to them, to tell them about Christ, and that just doesn't work. Now that we've talked about friends to kind of help discern who we should fellowship with and what's going to be uplifting for our growing in Christ, now we can... Those who have been saved through Jesus Christ receive the Holy Spirit upon salvation. So I want to talk about, now that we've discussed who we should fellowship with, I want to talk about that we should do it outside of church. We need to have friends that we can just call up and be like, hey, you want to study the Bible together? And do that every day. And I want to talk about those who have been saved through Jesus Christ all have received spiritual gifts, and we're all under the same Spirit, having the gifts to be used for the edifying of the church, which is the body of believers, and the world to point others to Christ. So I want to flip, if you want to, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 3 through 12. Starting with verse 3. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So those of us who have accepted Christ, it's through the Holy Spirit, and we have the Holy Spirit within us. There are diversities of gifts, and I'm going to go over these. So as I go over them, y'all can kind of look at yourself and see what kind of gifts you may have. There's differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but in the same God who works in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So we use our gifts for the profit of all, uplifting towards Christ. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills, which is God. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body, of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So God has distributed different gifts to us, but we all use them to edify each other, to help each other grow as Christians. And God's given those gifts for that purpose, and we're all under the same Holy Spirit that's within us. And Now I'm going to flip to Romans chapter 12. This goes over some more gifts. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So that's saying we have many members in the church, and that's not just talking about our, I think it's talking about the body of believers throughout the world, not just this church. We all have different measures of faith. We all have different gifts. So we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And I mean, if you think about it, these gifts that God gave us is even just grace enough. Even, I mean, if you want to go as far as we're still breathing, that's enough grace. But I'm saying, like, the gifts that God's given us is grace enough. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And I know if you think about yourself right now, a lot of you may have, you feel like you have a gift of encouraging others. Those who have been blessed by God with a lot of money, if you feel that God's urging you to give liberally, that's what you should do. God's blessed you with everything you have, and to return to the church is what he desires for you to do. So, let love be without hypocrisy. Verse 9, sorry. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. So, now that we've covered all these gifts, I want to go over that we need to do all these in love. We have to have, like, the right heart about it, you know? If I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 through 8 now. Okay, 13, 1 through 8. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but not have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to the burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So we need to do everything we do in love, because Christ first loved us. And if you look at verse 4, this will talk about what exactly love is that you can practice. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. So, now we should use all the gifts that we have in love, but that doesn't just mean in the church, within the church walls that we have here. we need to make friends to where we can, like all the time, show love and use our gifts towards one another to edify the body of Christ. We can use our godly friends to have Bible studies. We can use them. They should sharpen us, as Proverbs 27:17 said. So do not limit yourself to the church building. As we grow with our friends, we should be seeking. But as we grow with our friends, we should be seeking to share the gospel of Christ everywhere we go. So now I want to look at Paul. Paul wrote a letter to Timothy while he was in prison, and I want to look at Paul's letter. And as you hear it, I want you to listen as if it's being written to you, if you would like to do so. So I'm going to flip to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to do verse 1 through 14. All right. So think of this being written to you, one of your friends writing this to you, your good Christian friends. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on my hands. All of us, I've gone over that, all of us have the spiritual gifts, whether it's encouraging, we have money to give liberally, we have prophecy, which is like edifying the church with words from God. We all have those, but Paul is urging Timothy here, who is a great man of God, to stir up that gift. And when it says stir up, I looked up the Greek, but I didn't necessarily like write it down, but it's like to kindle the flame, to like make it grow, make it stronger. So we all have the gifts, but we need to work it, make it stronger, and get to using it. God gives us a spirit, and okay, verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So God has given us a spirit, has not given us a spirit of fear. So whenever you have that fear of what will people think of me whenever I want to share Christ with this person, or what are these people going to think of me, that fear is not from God. God has given us a spirit of power. And this doesn't mean like I can tell them what to do, you know, but it's like God's hand, he has us in his hand as Christians, and his power, I mean, he's the creator of the universe, everything. God's power is there with us. We have nothing to fear. And of a sound mind, that means whenever we want to share the gospel with somebody, we feel like the Holy Spirit's leading us to do that. Our sound mind is just the calmness. It's not like worrying, you know, what is this person going to do? So God gives us the spirit of calmness, sound mind, spirit, love. And I mentioned the power doesn't mean we have the power to do. Actually, I mean, the power to tell people what to do. But love, the spirit of love. I want to flip to John chapter 13 real fast. I'm going to keep reading in Timothy, but I want to flip to John chapter 13. This is just like God. Jesus was giving a great example to his disciples of how we should love. So in John chapter 13, it says, verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. In the supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands. So Jesus knew God has given him all things into his hands. And that he had come from God and was going to God. So Jesus knew all these things, but he rose up from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that with which he was girded. So then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet? Lord, are you washing my feet?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." So Jesus showed great love, knowing that he had the power. God had given everything into his hands. He still washed his disciples' feet. And when Peter said, "Why are you washing my feet?" he's like, "You're my Lord, why are you doing this for me?" But Christ was showing an example of how we should be to everybody else, other believers, and everybody in the world. Whew. Now that I got over that. Let's see. So Paul, let's continue in 2 Timothy, chapter 8. I mean, 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 8. "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God." So we do not need to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So that being said, what is like keep? If that is keeping you from sharing the gospel, you need to look at yourself and tell you God is with you. And we need not to be ashamed of the gospel. Even Paul is telling Timothy this. So I want to start over that verse. "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of him, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which has been given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." "To which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer the things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep me what I have committed to him until that day." So, after reading verse 12, we should all pray that we can have the faith knowing whom I have believed, which is Jesus Christ, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to. So if we have committed to the holy calling that Christ has given to us, we know that he will hold us in that, committed to him until that day, meaning the day that we all will be with him. "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you." So all these things he wrote to him, and hopefully you remember to think about yourself as I was reading it. We need to hold on to these things, knowing that God's got us in his hand. God's given us a spirit of power, of love, and sound mind. And the Holy Spirit dwells in us to empower us with what we need, whether it's the gifts or sharing what we have, which is the gift of God through salvation, which is salvation. Paul is encouraging Timothy to be bold and fearless. those who are saved by the grace that is in Jesus Christ have a holy calling, which is to share the gospel to the world. So we need to love, we need to use our gifts and seek those gifts that you may have or that you have, and be a living testimony in your daily actions, what you speak. Everything you should say should be edifying. I mean, there are going to be some things that you may question, but and we need to share the word of God. And this, the way our lifestyle is one huge way of doing that. And Hebrew, after talking about like Paul had that great friendship with Timothy, how we should have friends, fellowship throughout the week. I want to look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 through 25. It says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." So love is very important. The love is what stirs up the good works. Sorry, I misread that. Stir up love and good works. But still, love will cover sins of a multitude, which is what I'm going to read in a little bit. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, as so much the more as you see the day approaching." So that basically sums up what I've all talked about. We don't need to forsake the assembling of ourselves. We need to, as much as possible, find the right kind of friends and to be able to share that. And we, by people seeing fellowship of Christians, and if we're doing the will of God, that should point others to Christ also. The ones that we don't necessarily are companions with the world, the people of the world who are in drunkenness and corrupt talk. And I want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of this time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries." And some people here may be struggling with these things, but in Christ we can conquer those things. We can walk away from those things and follow Christ with our whole heart. And "for we, in regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. And as we stand for what's right, don't be afraid to stand for what's right. As we do that, people are going to speak weird, evil of you. They're going to think you're weird. I mean, but we're doing it for an ultimate purpose, and that's Jesus Christ and spending eternity with Him. And in regards to these that think it's strange, they will give an account to Him, God, who is ready to judge the living and the dead. But for this very reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover multitude of sins." And what I kind of took from that, it's the Bible talks about the importance of love, and it's very important. And whenever we show love to each other in the body of Christ, people will see that. And it says love will cover a multitude of sins. The love of Christ dying on the cross for us has covers this multitude of the whole world. And whenever we show that our living testimony, that will cover a multitude of sins, because people will be like, hey, there's something different about those people, about the Christians that they call themselves. And hopefully they'll be pointed to Christ. And so as we try to find the right friends, as we fellowship with them, we need to be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And sometimes whenever you feel like you're doing something for a friend and they ask you to do something, you should be willing to help them out. And sometimes I catch myself kind of grumbling in my head, you know, but you don't necessarily say it. But if you are doing it with pure love that you know Christ has shown you, I don't think grumbling shouldn't be a problem. But sometimes we need reminders. And so as each one of us has received a gift, which is some of the gifts I talked about, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, that being said, we do this all for the glory of God through Jesus Christ. God will have the dominion forever and ever, and we know that. We need not be fearful. We need to be bold in our faith, seeking His word daily, growing, having the friends that will help us grow, sharpen each other. So do not walk with the world. Do not follow in their footsteps. Be strong. Love others. Love will cover the sin of a multitude. Be hospitable to others without grumbling. Do it in love. Minister your gifts. And we do all this for the glory of God, who will have dominion forever and ever. So, I guess right now, I'm basically done, but I kind of want to... I don't know everybody's heart here, and I know there's Christians here, and that's what I was speaking to. And for everybody here, they may not be saved, and I want to share a few scripture about the hope that us Christians have in Christ Jesus. We talked about living in darkness and how before we were saved, we were living in darkness, but now we're light in the Lord. And we need to shine that light. And we know God in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, it says, God is light. Well, this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. God will never fail us. He's the truth. He's love. He's perfect, everything that we could hope for. So if you confess in verse 9 of 1 John chapter 9, chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Chapter 2, verse 2. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, which is Jesus Christ. And not for ours as Christians, but for the whole world. No matter what sins you've done, no matter how bad you think you've been, Jesus Christ will forgive you. He died for your sins. And if you believe and accept the Son of God, He is faithful and just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And for those of you who haven't accepted Him, and for those of you who have already, this was an encouragement for those who have already to look for the right friends to grow. For those who haven't, I pray that you will seek His face. And so I guess right now, knowing if you believe that Jesus Christ died for you and you accept Him, lay down your cross, or pick up your cross and then follow Him, Right now, I just want to pray. I just want to take a moment of silence and just examine yourself and pray. I want you to pray that you will seek His face. And for those who don't know Him or haven't accepted Him, I pray that you will desire that. And I want you to pray to yourself and just examine yourself right now. So let's go. And I'll close in prayer. And then I guess we're going to sing some. All right.